Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some important subjects today that I believe that we need to grasp and understand. I believe that as citizens, we have a remedy, and that remedy is at the ballot box, and it's about 45, 46 days to go before we make a decision on what kind of America do you want to live in. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I want to live in America where we have a Bill of Rights. I want to live in a nation where we have the right to keep and bear arms. I want to live in a nation where we have the right to gather together and worship without a dictator telling us that we've got to worship outside, or that we've got to wear a mask, or that we've got to have a social distancing, or that somehow, some way, that we cannot worship indoors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we've seen so far this year taking place in America. But keep in mind, there's an ulterior motive. Keep in mind that it's been orchestrated. Keep in mind that the Wuhan China virus has simply been the catalyst by which the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats have made the decision to control we the people and what we do and where we go. Ladies and gentlemen, in the article, let me remind you, first of all, that telephone number is 831-0917. I want to hear from you. Are you upset? Are you bothered? Are you concerned? Are you just simply going to be a sheeple, not a people? Are you going to sit back and allow this to continue to take place? But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we are a free people because of the liberties that we have found in Christ, in the Word of God, codified in our Constitution, allows us to be free and continue to stand as a free people. But if we do not vote wisely on November the 3rd, we could cease to be a free people. But in the article that I was reading just before our top of the hour news break, further in this article, the title of the article, Federal Judge Strikes Down COVID Orders by Pennsylvania Governor and Health Secretary as Unconstitutional. Further in the article, it says, the U.S. District Judge William Strickman IV agreed with the plaintiff's claim that Wolf's business shutdown, listen, the business shutdown and stay-at-home orders violated the constitutional rights of the citizen. Have you heard that before? We've been told by the Communist Network News, we've been told by the talking heads on the Communist Network News that this is right. We've been told by the fake doctors they have on Communist Network News that COVID is so dangerous that we need to shut everything down. We've been told by the fake constitutional attorneys on the Communist Network News that this is all good and well, and it's what the Constitution says. It is not what the Constitution says. It is a violation of your constitutional rights and my constitutional rights, and as a result of that, we need to recognize it. Further in this article, Strickman's order Monday states that Wolf's use, that is the governor of Pennsylvania, Wolf's use of the law to restrict movement and business over coronavirus concerns violated the constitutional rights of the citizens. Further, he says, Strickman, the judge, found that Wolf's restrictions on crowd size violated the right of assembly, which is protected by the First Amendment. Strickman, the judge, also found that Wolf's stay-at-home order and business closure mandate violated the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. And finally, he found that the business closure mandate violated the equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment. With that, Strickman, that's the judge, entered a judgment in favor of the businesses and people in the state of Pennsylvania that had sued the governor. He writes that he believes that Wolf and the Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, undertook action and well-intentioned efforts to protect Pennsylvania from the virus. However, good intentions toward a laudable end are not alone enough to uphold government action against the constitutional rights of the citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. This article says, in an emergency, even a vigilant public may let down its guard over its constitutional liberties, only to find that their liberties, once relinquished, are hard to recoup, and the restrictions may persist long after immediate danger has passed. U.S. Judge William Strickman IV, a Trump appointee, said in his opinion on COVID-19 orders from Wolf and Pennsylvania Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, violated and continues to violate the First Amendment rights of freedom of assembly and the 14th Amendment of the Protection Clause in our Constitution, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the big picture, when we look at the bits and the pieces of what is taking place across America, we're still witnessing the persecution and the prosecution of our churches by the thousands. And yet I hear silence from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those on the left. Could you expect any different? The socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist governmental agents, if you will? Can you expect any less than that? But ladies and gentlemen, businesses are struggling. Thousands have closed permanently. Billions of dollars have been lost. I believe it's time that all Americans simply refuse to sit in silence any longer. I believe it's time, and I'm not an anarchist, so don't you get me wrong. Don't you dare think that this preacher is saying that we need to have anarchy. That's what's taking place with the Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, has nothing to do with skin pigmentation, but all to do with the Mao socialist, Marxist, communist agenda to overthrow the Constitution of the United States of America. Black Lives Matter is operating not just in America but around the globe because they are globalists, because they do not want borders, because they are working for those that are the puppeteers. They're the puppets, but they are destroying our nation. And as a result of that, billions of dollars have been lost. Businesses have been closed by the thousands. And I think it's time that we sit back, sit up, take notice, and we the people say, can you imagine now if all the church pastors 6 months ago said we're not closing? It would be over and done with today. Could you imagine if the businesses had said, no, sir, my Constitution gives me the right to make a living. My Constitution gives me the right to assemble. My Constitution gives me the right as a free citizen to go out here and open a business and to promulgate a profit in my business. Can you imagine where we would be today if we'd taken that stand? It's time, I believe, for a unified civil disobedience in America. I'm not talking about riots in the street. I'm talking about civil disobedience that says we're opening our churches, we're opening our business, we're going to honor God, we're going to honor the Constitution, and we defy any fiat governmental order by a wannabe tyrant mayor or governor that says otherwise. For example, in the city of Jacksonville, there are a lot of folks that think the mask order from the mayor is law. It's not law. It is simply a recommendation. It's not even a mandate. And yet we have businesses today that will defy the public's right to go in and to buy, shop, or trade. I think that what we ought to do as citizens is simply say, if you don't want my business, I'll go elsewhere. And don't you revert back to going back to that place of business after the mask fiasco is over. We need to unmask our citizens. We need to stand up and say, we're going to follow God. We're going to obey God. We're not going to fear man. We're not going to allow Caesar to run the church. Christ is the head of the church, and that's the way it ought to be. Ladies and gentlemen, today the governor of Michigan, Governor Whitmer, continues to be executive and legislative branch all at the same time. She's ruling Michigan with an iron fist. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that iron fist approach that the governor's taken is showing also in what she is doing and what others are doing. Multitudes have filed suit against Mrs. Whitmer, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of the state of Michigan. In fact, that same governor, ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, 2017, making fun of President Trump about the border wall. She says the border wall is not needed. The border wall is ineffective. The border wall is too costly. It ought not to be. But listen, listen to this article. Border wall critic Gretchen Whitmer building an 8-foot wall around the governor's mansion. She called President Donald Trump's border wall costly and ineffective February 2017, nearly a week after suggesting that money for the wall would be better spent elsewhere. Democrats are fond of claiming that America doesn't need Trump's southern border wall, yet so many of them live behind protective walls themselves. In Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is currently erecting an 8-foot border wall around her home. Who is she trying to keep out? Answer that question. The mostly peaceful constituents that want to say something to her about her executive orders. Further in the article, it says, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, state-owned residence is getting a $1.1 million in security upgrade, including an 8-foot-tall perimeter fence around the residence. Whitmer has long questioned the effectiveness of physical barriers, but is asking Michigan taxpayers to foot the bill for a 7-figure project to keep out uninvited guest. The governor's office confirmed the renovation on Friday, telling the Detroit News that the wall would help, quote, ensure the safety and security and protection of any sitting governor and the first family. The renovation of will include an electrified fence that Whitmer claims is necessary because of threats that she's received. Sure, she's received the threats because of what she's done in diminishing and in destroying the lives and the livelihood of those in the state of Michigan. She is saying that there needs to be a wall. Ladies and gentlemen, we need some type of legislative action in every state that will prevent these governors from just taking a willy-nilly approach to executive orders and think they can continue to do so without any rebuttal or any recitation against it from the citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the big picture, the bits and the pieces of what's happening. Perhaps because we have been so blinded by the closure of our businesses, the closure of our churches and the battle on that we've lost sight of some of the other battles that's taking place for the very soul of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle over the soul of America continues to rage, mostly ethically and financially and spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, morally, our foundation is being destroyed. In Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible is very, very clear. What are the righteous to do if our foundation be destroyed? Yet it is a reverse of that in the actual biblical text. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that ought to be the question that you're asking. If we allow it, if we sit back as citizens, ladies and gentlemen, these governors, these mayors, the legislators in Washington, the legislators in Tallahassee and in the state departments across America, they work for us. We're not their peasants. We're not their subjects. They work for us. And it's time, I believe, that we recognize that. I'm concerned because, ladies and gentlemen, if we keep on going down the slippery slope that we're headed now and we elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the socialist, Marxist, communist will be in total control of America. Religious liberties will be gone. Freedom to worship will be gone. Freedom of speech will be out the window. And there'll be no such thing as any future opportunity to do anything unless the ones in charge give us permission to do so. Our weapons will be taken. The Second Amendment right will be eviscerated. We'll have no freedom of religion and no freedom of speech. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I had three comments to make today. I think the reason why Gritchmer would like to put a wall around her house is not to keep out people, but to control her husband because he keeps making an embarrassment of her and her rules and regulations. Secondly, on our local Fox News last night, they put up a doctor talking about sending their child back to school for the upcoming semester. And when I researched who the doctor was, because they made sure to put that in front of her name, she's just a lady who makes pharmaceutical drugs for heart patients. So it's that whole deception of, we're going to put doctor in front of her name to make everybody worried about sending their kids back to school, but she doesn't practice any sort of medical day-to-day practice with people. And thirdly, I'd like to bring up about how Newt Gingrich went on the Fox News network and said the name George Soros and sent those people into such a stupefied, I don't know, stupefied way. They couldn't even say anything to him.
Well, to answer you, to go back to a couple of those points, George Soros is the puppeteer, the BLM and others are the puppets, and the puppeteer, George Soros, is funding the overwhelming majority of the Black Lives Matter thuggery that's taking place in the streets, and Antifa, both being funded by George Soros. George Soros has some 209, most of them are nonprofit organizations in America that will continue even after his death and will absolutely continue on the approach for globalism and for the one world governance. And when it comes to those fake doctors that they put on, one of the major things that we need to understand is the teachers union, the National Educational Association and the teachers union, they're going around in hysteria with the hair on fire because they don't want to start back to school because the teachers union, the National Educational Association across America are all behind and funding the Joe Biden candidacy for president because they do not want President Donald J. Trump to be reelected. This thing about the schools opening back up will be a moot question on November the 4th or sometimes the latter part of November. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says L.A. County's public health director accidentally admits what many have suspected about the lockdowns. In fact, the one that is the health director in L.A. County said that after the election, we can go back to the schools being open and opening up the businesses. What does that say? That it's all been done to prevent the re-election of President Donald J. Trump. So you're exactly right.
I just find it funny how when they when somebody gets on the news networks and they combat what the news anchor is saying by something Trump did, they're so quick to slam it down and prove how right they are and how wrong the person speaking is. But they said the name George Soros, and it's like the world stopped. It was completely hilarious to watch the video.
Well, what is happening on Fox News is egregious because most are not aware of the fact that the Joe Biden's executive leadership person, his chief of staff for Joe Biden, is now working with Fox News as the legislative, consultant for Fox News. He's the one that's in control of what is said and what is done, politically speaking, on Fox News. And so we can expect no less than a further deterioration and degradation of anything that will be called truth out of Fox News.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Keep on looking up. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the big picture. We're looking at the bits and the pieces, as I call it, of what is coming together for the big picture of what is happening and affecting the United States of America. But part of the factor of destroying our moral, ethical, Judeo-Christian, spiritual, fundamental foundation of America places people in organizations like Netflix, for example. They've just produced a pure pornographic movie that's being shown on television called Cuties. And ladies and gentlemen, it's sexualizing 11-year-old girls. Fortunately, thousands across America are canceling their Netflix accounts. In fact, here's one that says Netflix issues a bizarre apology after sexualizing 11-year-old girls in tasteless promo film about sensual dance. And it goes on where they have tried to issue some type of apology, but the apology has not worked. Here's the reason. Netflix stock prices plummet, this article says. Despite the relatively positive results in Netflix stock, the price plummeted by 10% during after-hours trading just day before yesterday. It dropped, ladies and gentlemen, like a lead balloon. And I would commend anyone that out there is already canceled. I don't have Netflix, never have, but I would commend those that have canceled your Netflix account, and I would recommend today get on the telephone, get on your internet, and cancel the Netflix accounts by the hundreds of thousands across America. The only way that these folks will understand what they've done is if it hits them in the pocketbook. And by the way, you have on the board with Netflix none other than the former president, Barack Hussein Obama, and his wife, Michelle Obama, and his former Secretary of State, I believe it's Susan Rice, and multitudes of others like that. In fact, the Obamas have made upward of some $65 million just since they went on the board with Netflix. How or why they've been paid so handsomely, only God knows. But we need to cause Netflix to understand you can't do a raw porn movie, put it on the television that will sexualize our children and get away with it. The stocks have plummeted. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's because of the cancellation of the accounts. But ladies and gentlemen, our moral, ethical fundamentals are in the hands of a nation's group called the LGBTQ agenda and the Planned Parenthood agenda. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the big picture that's taking place in America. You see, our focus is on the election, and it ought to be. Our focus is on the shutdowns of the churches and the business, and it ought to be. But it's like a magician working with his left hand and say, watch my left hand, don't pay attention to what my right hand is doing. While the left hand is trying to destroy the churches, trying to destroy the business and the free exercise thereof, may I say, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the erosion, the evisceration, the the washing out and the destruction of the moral ethical foundation of America. That is true when you look at Senate Bill 145 in the state of California, where the sodomites have prevailed. They passed legislation and the governor's to sign the bill. And in that legislation, it allows the perverts, the sodomites, those pedophiles to prey on the children that are 8 years old and up. The bill simply stipulates, ladies and gentlemen, that if there's any sexual activity with a child, that the age differentiation can't be more than 10 years. That is, an 18-year-old can sodomize and rape and pervert and destroy the life of an 8-year-old. And somehow, some way, according to that new law in the state of California, an 8-year-old or a one even in that general age category can give permission for his life to be destroyed by a pervert and a pedophile. One that's wanting to destroy the life of that child. It is now legal in the state of California. And ladies and gentlemen, in most of the states, they're now requiring LGBTQ agenda, that's the sodomite agenda, to be taught in every classroom across America. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the saddest things that I've seen take place in American culture, is to find out that that group of people that are absolutely stupefied because of their sexuality, there's less than 4% of Americans that claim to have anything to do with bisexuality, homosexuality, pedophilia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, less than 4%. But they're controlling 98% of the legislative action and the morals and ethics and the values in America. Here's an article that says, 6 crazy school districts responses to parents mad about the LGBTQ indoctrination of preschoolers. In Illinois, the school district leaders heard from upset parents about the children started talking about what they were learning about LGBTQ in the schools in their classroom. They responded so badly that they should resign. The article says, last week I wrote about a suburban Chicago school district on October the 7th through the 11th, LGBTQ curriculum as an example of what the state legislature has now required for all Illinois public schools starting in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on with it. Here's another article that says, liberals are sexualizing our children and grooming them for the pedophiles, end quote. The article says it wasn't long ago, just last year, actually, when we were confronted with the idea of libraries with the full drag queen and garish cartoon type makeup, et cetera, et cetera. And it talks about, we started off, ladies and gentlemen, with the introduction of this on the public basis, where our public schools and the public libraries were allowing the drag queens to come in. That's the pedophiles. That's the sodomites that's dressed as drag queens to entertain the 2-year-olds, the toddlers and up. And this article is very clear. It says it's grooming our children for pedophiles to use as their prey. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that God is not mocked. God is not going to allow this to continue in America. God's going to judge our nation in response to what we're doing as a people. If you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, just watch the left coast. Look at what's happening in California. Look at what's taking place in Oregon and Washington State, where they have some 5 million acres that's now either burned or in the potential path of the fire. As one writer put it, the fires in the West as hell on earth, as one writer states it in a published article. He says, I write this, California and much of the West is engulfed in flames. If everyone wanted to look into what hell must be like, just look at some of the news coverage on the raging forest fires currently devouring millions of acres of land, as well as hundreds of homes and businesses in the state of California, Oregon, and Washington. At this point, the catastrophe, there are 17 dead and 16 missing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now approximately 36 that's dead and still dozens that are missing. But ladies and gentlemen, if God's word says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means he is immutable, unchangeable. If God would destroy nation after nation, if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sodomite pedophile mindset, what's God going to do in America? What is God doing in California, Oregon, and Washington State? The Capitol Dome of the sodomite lifestyle and the pushing of the LGBTQ agenda across the United States of America. What's God going to do with that? But ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap up in talking about not just what we see taking place with the executive orders to shut down churches and shut down the business, not just the moral, ethical destruction of our foundation in the United States of America, including the socioeconomic and the Judeo-Christian values. But ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the close of the time frame for our election, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that there's an attempt to steal this election. And they're going to do so, ladies and gentlemen, by the bombardment of the voting booths and the voting ballots in the states across America with so many hundreds of millions of fraudulent ballots that it will take days, weeks, months to be able to make a determination on who won the election. Judge Napolitano explains, quote, if Pelosi could become acting president if election results are delayed past January the 20th. Question. Could House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, become president if there's no election results by January? Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano told the Varney & Company on Thursday whether Pelosi would automatically assume the role of acting president if 2020 election is delayed. He goes further to say President Trump's term ends precisely at noon on January the 20th, 2021. If the Electoral College has not yet named a successor, presumably either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, then whoever is in the Speaker of the House position would become acting president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, if there's enough convolution of the vote, and the state of Nevada has already sent out hundreds of millions of votes in the state of Nevada, hundreds of millions. And ladies and gentlemen, nobody's asked for them. The rolls have not been cleaned. People that are dead still on the rolls, people that are out of state, but those hundreds of millions of ballots will go out, and only God knows whose hands they will fall into, and they will be filled out, sent back in, and will be part of the count, and we'll be counting the votes of dead people, counting the votes of dogs and cats, counting the votes of those who have moved, and it will so inundate the system that it will be an impossibility by January the 20th to determine who is the real president of the United States of America. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, one article, for example, says disputes from mail-in ballots could make naming the winner impossible by January the 20th. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are simply facing what will become an escalating battle. It will become a fiasco. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that is what the Democrat, Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party wants, so that they will be able to have a president that they name or they appoint or the Supreme Court appoints rather than the election of President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.